Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He is rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. The very thing you've been longing for. Or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you. Or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond to somewhere in Europe, and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings, visitors from the visible and invisible realms, and welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting, and what we hope may become a successful recording of a radio broadcast this time. Last week did not go so well, but we have the old recording apparatus set up now and the laptop's working again, so both options seem to indicate we will be good to go. I've got a webcam installed now, and I'm going to start uploading videos to my YouTube channel, and the first one will be a kind of walk-through distance scan of my new living location. I can only travel as far as the camera cable will reach, so it will be somewhat limited, but maybe I can be verbally creative while in the process. I'm not interested in doing this, but people keep asking me, so I'll get to it in the next couple of days. Tonight we're hovering above the beleaguered blue planet, looking down on the whole sorry spectacle of humanity en masse, going in every direction except for the right one. I'm guessing that particular route has been closed off, just on the off chance that some solitary soul, for reasons certainly unknown to everyone else, in some rare fit of temporary sanity, consciously decided, or by impulse was inspired, to see what might be found up that way. I've been going in what I have presumed is that direction for some while, not including those occasional moments when the road went one way and I went the other for a short period. Anyway, it could be that the route I've been traveling is just a singular course of some rare insanity itself, and that explains why there aren't so many people to be encountered on the way. Then again, I could be going the right way, and what I find is that the solitary status of this particular road is directly tied into what I see below me in that turbulent madhouse that passes for a contemporary culture. Let's look into that for a moment. I got a simple answer for that. You can agree or not. You might have your own theory on it, and I may not be totally and comprehensively correct. Perhaps there are some other factors I'm missing or never see at all, but from what I have observed in the decades of watching things get more and more and more out of whack, and from what I have gleaned in my forays into history, ancient and more modern records of what is mostly a pack of lies, designed to make evil monsters look human, and even more than that, I think my own theory, simple as it may be, is pretty accurate. As far as the bunk that passes for history, one can still extract enough to be able to make an informed appraisal, I hope. My theory is that materialism makes people insane, and the greater the press of materialism, the greater the intensity and pervasiveness of the insanity. The insanity expresses itself along the avenues of human expression that are most immediately and naturally susceptible to manipulation and perversion. This implies that they are generally manifest through the desire body. One would, if they had half a brain, think of sex and all the other human activities that arise into the consciousness on a daily basis, and in many cases find expression on a daily basis. Eating would be another one that just about everyone engages in every day, except for certain discipline types or that portion of that half of the world that doesn't eat every day, simply because there is a powerful minority of psychopaths whose appetite for possession of a massive portion of the world's wealth and resources requires a large portion of the world to go without. What makes the crimes of these monsters so great is that in many cases they take enjoyment from the suffering they cause. The personal profit is one thing, but the sense of power and privilege that one experiences in the knowledge that people live and die at their command is something else. In my most recent novel, The Curious Tale of Ash and the Wine, I have a character named Rathschmelter, who embodies this type of personality, and there are others as well in the book. Oligarchs are criminals whose crimes dwarf those of the more pedestrian killers. Even the most prolific serial killers that have been come nowhere near the level of these beasts. The horrific actions of these characters rings through time. It is hard for the imagination to get a grasp on the idea of the murders of millions of people, such as those who have died at the hands of the Ashkenazi Khazars over the last couple of hundred years, or the gift that keeps on giving, such as the Iraq of the moment, brought to you by neocon Zionist architects and made real by the proclamations of their willing servants like Bush, Blair, and Sundry. The statements made by Madeleine Albright that what resulted from starving half a million Iraqi children to death was worth it, well, we're seeing the result right now. The variety of conflicts taking place now in the Ukraine, all over the Middle East, in Africa, the edginess in the Far East, it's all on a knife's edge. And it's all an expression of insanity brought about by the force of materialism upon the collective human and inhuman psyche as they exist at the moment. Add into the mix the press of an enormous population in competition with itself for survival, as if every life were another plant in some vast rainforest, striving for survival one against the other. It's madness. What does anyone do? What do you do personally about the state of the world? It's a good question, because not knowing what to do and feeling like you are not doing enough can really bring stress into your life. It brings guilt into your life. If you turn your back on it, or it can, some of us are capable of a detached indifference because we know what's what and what our limitations are. It invariably comes back to what has been said here so many times. You work on yourself. That is where you start, and that is where you concentrate your efforts. The result of this is that a change occurs in your personal being, and a particular energy of thought and feeling begins to radiate out of your form, and it adds into the general melange of all the influences at work all through the world. However, the energy that radiates out of you is, in this situation, of a much higher order than the chaos and confusion that is the general state of the material realm. And that energy is much more pervasive than everything else. One resonates from the place they occupy in consciousness, and their consciousness influences all other consciousnesses that are open to that vibration. This is how you change the world. This is the only way you change the world in a positive and useful fashion. As you grow in spiritual status, your radius expands. It's personal and impersonal at the same time. To the extent that you make yourself capable of channeling the ineffable will make that happen to the limits of your capacity. And the thing with love is that it is a universal solvent. It dissolves walls. It dissolves borders. And so it widens your capacity the more you employ it. After a while, you forget yourself altogether, and there's no soma or ambrosia quite like the nectar of self-forgetfulness. This is the ecstasy of the mystics and saints and sages and all lovers of and friends of the divine. There is nothing so incredibly complex about it all. Only thinking makes it so. People have been trying to reason it out and make sense of it for longer than there is any record of the effort. That's never going to happen. It isn't reasonable and it doesn't make sense. And any understanding that takes place is a conferred understanding. Any wisdom that comes into your possession is a conferred wisdom. All of the higher graces, virtues, and priceless gifts of the invisible are conferred, and you have only to ask and to live accordingly, or should I say, ask believing and live according to the inspiration conferred. Oh well. It goes on and on like some kind of a carousel in a Twilight Zone episode. I can even hear that weird musical looping that accompanies the painted ponies going up and down, as the song says. Something has shifted in the formerly doldrum states and statuses of the winds of change. I notice changes in the big patterns when they affect my small patterns. Things get different without any seeming cause. The weather shifts. Food tastes unlike the way it previously had. There's a new smell in the air. Maybe I'm imagining all of this, but I don't think so. I was sitting at my desk this morning when this strong feeling came sweeping over me that there was soon going to be a massive shift in consciousness. Many people were going to find themselves suddenly wide awake, not knowing how it happened, in some cases not even knowing what it was that happened, only that they are awake and nothing looks the same anymore. For some, it was attended by a sense of deep uneasiness as they become aware of themselves for the first time, aware of the meaning of what they have been doing and its general impact on the lives of those around them. It was a powerful experience, and I remember thinking how much it was like that same carousel that had been doing the same thing over and over and over again, and then suddenly the carousel was no longer just spinning around and going up and down, but now it was flying through the air, and all the painted ponies had wings. For as long as I can remember, I've been thinking that there was going to be some major shift in the collective consciousness, but I never did see much of it. I thought the 60s were the start of it, and that soon the whole world was going to be so much better than it ever had been. The next thing I knew, it was disco and Ronald Reagan. I was really surprised. Now, for the first time since way back then, I feel a lot of the same things that I felt when I thought the global community was going to become an actuality. I can't seem to express this with anything resembling the intensity of what I was feeling. It was as if, for a moment, I was there in a sort of hyper-projection, some kind of coming attraction, soon to be showing at a theater near you, soon to be showing at theaters everywhere. It's something not yet here, but merely around the corner, and it's going to be upon us in an instant, without warning. It's going to be very good and very bad all at the same time, and that's all going to be determined by whatever it is you've been up to. It felt like there's been some other mind that has been residing with all of our own minds for some time now, but we have been, for the most part, unaware of it, and now it's going to surface and announce itself. I don't like coming out of this quasi-prophecy bag. It's not my way. It makes me feel vulnerable in ways I don't like it. It's out of my comfort zone, but the sensation was so strong. It didn't stay long. It was just a series of flashes, almost like an animated vision of the lightning-struck tower from the tarot. You know, it seems like we have all been waiting for such a long time, and all we've gotten out of the process is an endless parade of unfortunate events following on the heels of one another. Now I sense that is all about to change in a very big way. I'm not so certain that my description of it will match up with the reality at all. Maybe that's just the way it appears to me, and when it does come, it's going to look different to everyone. I always thought so many things would have happened a long time ago by now, but none of them did. I guess I should expect that sooner or later, something was, is, and will going to happen. Be going to happen. I probably shouldn't be saying these things, but as usual, it's not something I have a whole lot of control over. I don't want to upset anyone. I think, in the main, it's a good thing for the most part. I just get the feeling it's going to be startling when it comes. Maybe it won't be as startling for us as it will be for others, but it feels like the kind of thing that can't help but be startling. This world seems so persistently stable for such long periods of time in a mechanically functional, dysfunctional way. It looks like it's going against the laws of physics and gravity for it to still be standing up, but somehow it manages to do so. It's like a drunken acrobat taking all kinds of unnecessary risks, but managing to stay upright nonetheless. Still, you know, it's only a matter of time before the inevitable happens. Well, my friends, looks like we've come to the end of yet another broadcast. One that I hope was a slower and more thoughtful expression of the process than has been the case most of the time here. Hopefully this new format meets with approval. Be watchful, my friends. I can't shake the feeling that something large and very different than anything we have known before is on the way. May you find that impenetrable sanctuary within and be guided by the still voice of ageless wisdom that dwells within us all. That said, I'll see you next week if there is one. Hail, Lord Jesus Christ! Om Amitabha! Greetings, Lord Ganesh! Much love, Lady Nature, in all your permutations. La ilaha il Allahu, Hare Krishna. And as ever, carry on, Baha'u'llah, Aloha, and Haru. He's long and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever if you get hit by it. Coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. And he's sweeter than the air in spring, meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth. He's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSIC Radio Network of Stations.